two guys who love a good fantasy draft. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes. And love bringing back to the program Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show, NFL writer for The Athletic. Good to have you, Robert.
Happy to be here, guys. Thank you.
All right, so Cincinnati, we keep saying, cannot screw up this pick. It seems like they are in an incredibly good position, either getting Sewell, unless Sewell goes, you know, four to Atlanta, trading back for somebody who wants to come up and get a quarterback if one is there still at five, or kind of controlling the next best weapon, whether it's Pitts or Chase. Where do you land on what Cincinnati will do and what maybe they should do?
I think in an ideal world, you probably trade back, but it's a matter of supply and demand, right? I mean, I read Peter King this morning, and he said that from all accounts, it doesn't seem like Atlanta is getting a ton of interest for that fourth pick. So you'd assume that for the fifth pick, it would be even less. So it doesn't look like you're going to be able to get a huge haul like Miami got for number three. So if you're not inclined to do that, then I think it becomes a more complicated discussion. And when I'm looking at this group of players, and just based on the people that I've talked to, the research that I've done, it feels like Kyle Pitts is the rarest prospect among those three players. And I think that's where I would land. I wrote a piece for The Athletic last week that was more about exploring where these players typically come from. Where do you typically get high-end tackles? Where do you typically get high-end receivers? And I think at the core of that conversation, it's about how rare are the skill sets of these players. And if I was stacking up all three of those, I would say that Kyle Pitts has the rarest profile and set of abilities of all three of those guys.
It's been a fun offseason so far. Quarterbacks moving around, and the most recent movement we had was Sam Darnold getting traded from the Jets and now landing down in Carolina. How do you feel about that fit? How do you feel about the support around Sam Darnold? Are you a believer that his time in Carolina could be a place to where he turns things around?
I do believe in the infrastructure there, yeah. I mean, I think that Joe Brady has done a fantastic job over his first 2 years as a play caller, obviously what he did at LSU. And then last year in Carolina, I mean, that was a top 10 offense by some advanced metrics with a guy that they no longer want to be their quarterback. So I think that speaks to everything else they have there. And we'll see what they do with the eighth overall pick. I mean, that's obviously the benefit of going to get a guy like Sam Darnold, is that you can trade some fairly middling draft capital for him and still have that pick. So if Penei Sewell comes off the board before eight, do they grab a guy like Rashawn Slater and plug him in at left tackle? And then from left to right, you've got a pretty solid group, you've got decent weapons, and you've got a really good play caller. So it automatically sets up better than any of the help he ever had with the Jets. So if Sam Darnold is going to resurrect his career, if there is anything left there and he has the potential to do it, I think Carolina gives him a real shot at it.
Talking with Robert Mays of The Athletic, talking NFL. Robert, what did you make of Justin Fields holding a second pro day and the 49ers and Shanahan committing to attend along with the Patriots, perhaps?
I think it's just kind of how this year has gone. Obviously, it's such a strange setup, and you know, you want to cater to the teams that are at the top of the draft, and you want to be as attractive as you can be to as many possible suitors. And it seems like he has nothing to hide, and I don't know why he would. You know, this is a guy with an endless pool of physical ability. He's going to look good in any scripted workout you want to put together for him. So having more teams see me in person, being able to wow them with those physical tools that he has. I mean, the guy is so fast. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's incredibly accurate. I would want to do that as often as possible if it meant helping myself.
A lot of noise recently about Aaron Rodgers, and rightfully so. We can all go back to draft night not too long ago when they took Jordan Love, and it's created a lot of controversy for them. Like, how do you think that they should manage this moving forward? The contract with Rodgers, Jordan Love still hovering over the entire team and all that. Like, how do you think they should go about this?
It's really interesting. I mean, you see this in other situations where even if a team isn't necessarily committed to the guy in the long term, they're still willing to move money around. You saw it with Matt Ryan this year, where the Falcons were saying, you know what, we're going to cut down his cap hit by $21 million. We don't really care because we need to do it. We'll eat the money later. The Packers historically have not liked pushing money into future years if they don't think guys are going to be on the roster. You know, they're not a huge convert to signing bonus teams. Some of the stuff that they've done with guys on that team, even this offseason, have been out of character. You know, what they did with a guy like David Bakhtiari. So they don't want to do that if they don't think Rodgers is going to be around. And I think it lets you, it kind of gives a window into their thinking that they want to keep all of their options open. And, you know, this seems so crazy considering the season he had last year. You'd assume they'd want to do everything they can to maximize this window, but it's no less crazy than them taking a quarterback in the first round of last year's draft. So at this point, it just seems like we should be willing to listen to what the Packers are telling us about how they want to handle this situation.
Speaking of a second pro day, it looks like the Browns are going to take another look at Jadeveon Clowney, right? He was there not that long ago, right? And left without a deal. What is your take on him? I mean, I think he overpriced himself. Certainly he's feeling the brunt of that. But what do you think about maybe the Browns trying to seal up Clowney and then allowing them some more freedom in the draft?
I completely understand it. I think that their approach this offseason was essentially to add as much defensive talent as possible in as many ways as possible. And Clowney is a perfect example of finding value. You know, he's a guy that signed for, I believe, $16 million for 1 year with the Titans last year. I'd be surprised if he got more than half of that this year. After, you know, obviously he was hurt, but I don't think he's any less of a player. He's not a high-end pass rusher. But if what you're looking to do is create as much depth and add as much talent to your defense as possible, if you're not asking him to be the number one pass rusher on your team, if you're asking him to be a chaos creator that can move around the formation and everything else, that's exactly what he does. So I can completely understand why a team that really has kind of a blank slate on its defensive front. You know, Sheldon Richardson is still there, obviously, but he's making a decent amount of money. They signed Malik Jackson, but they got rid of a guy like Adrian Claiborne. Again, they're just trying to add as many players as they can and deploy them in a bunch of different interesting ways. And I think that Clowney gives you a chance to do that. Even if they sign him, I don't think that precludes them from drafting an edge rusher in the first or second round.
You know, division I'm really fascinated by right now is the NFC East, and I wanted to ask you about Washington because, you know, people here in our neck of the woods, a couple few Buckeyes on that team that they're going to want to keep their eye on. But what do you make of the quarterback situation with Fitzpatrick in the fold right now? Do you believe that Washington should be trying to explore maybe a quarterback option in the draft?
Not necessarily. I don't think they should be pressured to move up if they don't love a guy or if they think it's going to take a lot to do it. I think that's the benefit of having Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's what he allows you to do. Signing him to the deal they did allows them to be patient. It doesn't force their hand one way or the other. If they want to have Fitzpatrick going forward for this entire season, they can do that. And I think that he's the perfect bridge option that doesn't make you desperate, that allows you to function, that keeps you on your timeline. That's why he made sense to them for me even before free agency started, and I think that's exactly the position he puts them in now. You know, let's say Justin Fields slips for whatever reason or whoever the more talented quarterbacks are, whether it's Fields or Lance or whatever, and they're lingering outside the top 10, even though I don't expect that to happen. Then maybe you start having a conversation. But I don't think you go into the draft saying, we need to go up and get a guy. That's the reason Fitzpatrick is there, to not force you into that set of thinking.
Really good stuff with our guy Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show, NFL writer for The Athletic. Thanks, Robert. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.